You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Alex Twitter from MLB.com. I will be joined in a second by my colleague Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks. And as we have 3 weeks or so left in the season, we're looking at September call-ups and moving toward 2015 and just getting through the last months of the season, trying to end with as much of a, I guess, respectable record as you possibly can. It's been the time has passed for the Diamondbacks to have considered themselves to be in a division race, but there are still some interesting things going on with the club. So let's bring in Steve Gilbert. Steve, I found it kind of funny, not in, like, I'm sure Trevor Cahill doesn't find it funny, but trying to figure out exactly, you know, who he is and where he fits into this whole thing. The part that I found funny was Miguel Montero's quote about him, just talking about how, although, you know, Cahill's been in the big leagues for 6 years, and it's still, it's kind of been a frustrating run for him lately, Montero basically was saying, let's just remember that he's still only 26 years old. And his quote was, he just got to the big leagues too early. I know that he didn't mean, like, that he shouldn't have been called up when he did, and I think that we all know what he was talking about. But it's been kind of frustrating for Cahill because he racked up the innings in his last few years, and he's really, you know, put some innings on that arm for a young guy. But they're still trying to understand why he hasn't had, like, a major breakthrough. So what's your take on all that?
Yeah, I mean, he really, if there has been one guy that's been just frustrating for the Diamondbacks and a guy who is, this season's been a season of frustration, but for Trevor Cahill in particular, it's been a hard one. He's just, you know, ever since he came over in that trade, he put together a pretty decent 2012. 2013 was, you know, okay. Not as good as he was with the A's in 2011. The Diamondbacks really thought when they traded Jared Parker for Cahill before the 2012 season that they were getting somebody that could kind of help put them over the top in terms of their rotation going forward. And he just has struggled to kind of find a consistent arm slot. It's one of those things that has the Diamondbacks kind of racking their brains because he really has a devastating heavy sinker. It's just a matter of trying to get that sinker close enough to the strike zone so if he doesn't get it called for a strike, he's at least getting guys swinging at it. And it's been just kind of a frustration thing for him. They even sent him down to Class A ball earlier this year to kind of try to work on the mechanics and kind of, you know, build him back up from there. And he had some success. He had a run of about five straight starts where it seemed like, okay, now he's starting to put things together again. In his last two, again, the command hasn't been there and the consistent arm slot hasn't been there. And I think Montero was, you know, was kind of expressing his own kind of frustration when he made those comments because he's trying to find the right thing that when Cahill's on the mound to kind of try to get him back on track. And it's just been hard for anybody to kind of find the magic formula to get him back.
So it'll just continue through the rest of this month, maybe head into spring and still, I mean, they're sticking with him. I'm sure that they feel like he's going to be a part of this club for a while longer, so I guess they just have to sort of ride it out.
Yeah, he's got $12 million. He's owed $12 million next year, so they're desperate.
Oh, he'll be around.
So they're desperate to try to figure something out to kind of try to get, it's not so much get their money's worth, but just to get him back on track so that he can be a usable piece in that rotation and you know, eat the innings that he used to be able to eat when he was with the A's in his first couple of years with the Diamondbacks.
So talk about another extremely frustrated person on a Diamondbacks roster has to be Vidal Nuño, who was acquired in the trade with the Yankees for Brandon McCarthy and is still looking for a win in a Diamondbacks uniform but has pitched really well enough to have several wins. So it's kind of amazing that he has not won a single game since joining the Diamondbacks. Is this just a head-scratcher?
Yeah, you look at the way he's pitched, and he certainly deserves a better result, and the offense just hasn't been there for him. It's just one of those things that seems to happen. There always seems to be a pitcher or two on the staff who seems to kind of run into tough luck when it comes to run support. But he's a guy that this last month and the last month of the season coming up are important for him because he's kind of establishing himself as a guy that they really need to look at as a possible rotation piece next year. Mike Harkey, who's their pitching coach, was the bullpen coach in New York, and he was the one that recommended Nuno to the front office, liked what he had seen in him while he was with him last year in New York. And so they took a flyer on him when it came time to trade Brandon McCarthy, and they've really kind of been impressed with what they've seen, and now maybe this guy could be a back end of the rotation piece going forward for them.
So looking down the road, I mean, when you look toward 2016 for this club, I mean, they've had some devastating arm injuries, I mean, with a couple, well, several Tommy John surgeries. Do you feel like, and of course losing Goldschmidt was gigantic, do you feel like they have something good in place next year? I mean, I know we talked about it a pretty long time ago, just how they're sort of treading water and they don't feel like they're going to need to make the gigantic wholesale changes in the offseason because it was more of an injury issue than just, you know, just having a lack of talent depth. Now that we're entering sort of the end of the season and you've been able to observe, you know, what this team has become since having been so removed from losing these guys to injuries. What do you think heading into next season? Do you think they're in a pretty good position?
Well, I think they probably need to add a piece or two during the winter if they're serious about contending next year. But it certainly seems like it could be a quick kind of rebuild if it's not for next year, maybe the year after, because they do have some young pitching coming up. They do have some young position players that they do like, whether it's Chris Owings or Jake Lamb. A.J. Pollock is now back and healthy. They'll get Goldschmidt back next year. Patrick Corbin, they're going to take their time with after his Tommy John surgery. Probably won't see him until, you know, May or June at the earliest. So there's some potential there. I think that they still probably need to add a pitcher, maybe a bat, depends on what they want to do with Trumbo during the offseason. So they're also planning on having a high payroll again of over $100 million. So there's going to be some expectation that comes along with that. So, yeah, I think they have a chance to come back, maybe not next year, depending on what they add in the offseason, but certainly in the very near future.
It's got to be kind of tough. I mean, I guess it's not like this division is unique. I mean, every division has a really good team at the top, sometimes more than one, sometimes three. But, this is not an easy division on its face. And when you're talking about the Dodgers, who are, you know, just have more money to spend than anybody can imagine, the Giants, who, you know, seem to always be around and just have this great chemistry going. So there's little room for error for anybody else in the division if they really want to be a player at the top.
Yeah, I think you're right, Allison. I think that the Giants are kind of like what the Diamondbacks had hoped to be. They knew they were never going to spend the money that the Dodgers were going to, and not even really what the Giants do. But the Giants, as you mentioned, seem to always kind of be around, and they have this kind of great chemistry, and they have this kind of, I hate to use the word, but grittiness, and they're there at the end, and two out of, you know, the last four World Championships have been won by them. So that's kind of who the Diamondbacks were trying to be this year. Obviously, it didn't work out for a variety of factors. But it is a very tough division. You got the Padres, who are, you know, have a pretty good record here since the trade deadline. So there's constant competition here. They're not going to be able to outspend the Dodgers, probably not even the Giants. But they need to be able to develop some of their own players and maybe have the sum be greater than the individual parts.
So we need to end on just touching on the alumni game. Is there anybody in particular who's stuck out as still being able to bring it?
Well, I'll tell you what. You looked at some of those bodies, and you could tell that they had been retired for a while. But you looked at Reggie Sanders, and you looked at Steve Finley and Junior Spivey, and those guys at least looked physically like they could get out there tomorrow and play. I know there's a difference between looking, you know, being in good physical condition and being in baseball shape. But those guys look like they were ready to play. Now, some of the other guys, you know, probably not so much, but those guys at least kind of stood out as guys who have kept themselves in good shape.
Can they still all fit? Like, what were they just wearing, kind of like pullover jerseys or What was the
No, dress? They actually, some of them actually squeezed themselves into some of those jerseys. They wore Diamondback jerseys. So it was kind of a fun night. You know, they always like to have fun with Luis Gonzalez, and when he came up, they put on one of those exaggerated shifts against him, which kind of had him stepping out of the box and shaking his head in an alumni game. And of course, then he hits a high fly ball to left field where there's nobody within, you know, 30 yards of, and certainly at this stage of their lives, they're not going to be able to track those balls down very quickly. So Gonzo was able to get a double out of it. Mike Fetter sarcastically walked over and handed him the baseball as kind of like a, you know, great, you got a double on a little bloop fly ball in left field. Congratulations, here you go.
Very nice. I was thinking that Mike Fetters might have been one of those guys that perhaps didn't quite look the same in his uniform. But we are not going to get into specifics on that, so we will end it there. But Steve, thank you so much, and we'll check back with you soon and talk about the Diamondbacks. Thank you.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.